Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. I love you, play football.
He's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Ladies and gentlemen of Pittsburgh Steelers Nation everywhere, I'm so excited right now because obviously the Pittsburgh Steelers have defeated the Cleveland Browns. Everyone expected that to happen, but what people didn't expect was the Buffalo Bills to upset the New York Jets, ruining their playoff hopes and punching the Pittsburgh Steelers ticket to the 2015 AFC playoffs as the number 6 seed. It might not be where fans wanted it to be. They might have had aspirations of a 5 or a 4 seed or even a 3 if they won the division. They might have wished that they would have taken care of business in Baltimore, but right now it doesn't matter because they're in. They're in the dance. I like the Steelers' chances. We're going to talk about that and a lot more, but if you want to call in, you can, 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. I bring in my co-host, the fellow homer, Christopher Carter. Chris. We did it, buddy. We did it. What's up?
Man, what? Jeff, I still can't believe it right now. I can't feel my face. It is insane. This is too much. But in all seriousness, it was a scary day all day for Steelers fans. The way that the Steelers game was going, coming out slow, turnover after turnover, and you were just like, what? Why can't we just put away the Browns? You know, you're seeing last week all over again. And you see the Bills get an early lead, and the Jets are storming back like they did last week against the Patriots. And then just everything just worked out, and people came. We'll break down all the stuff. But, man, Jeff, this is such a good feeling to be in the playoffs again.
It is a phenomenal feeling, my friend. I cannot believe it. You and I are the optimists of all optimists when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you and I even talked off the air that – a little bit of doubt creeps into your mind. Nothing has gone the Steelers' way. And I told you this, I think it was you, that the trend has got to stop sooner or later. You know, I mean, the
right.
Trend of the Steelers need this, and this to happen to make the playoffs. And it just never does. Whether it's 2013 when they were a suck-up 42-yard field goal away from getting in, or whether it was, you know, years prior to that where they would have one or two things. Finally, the trend is broken. The Jets lose. The Steelers win, scenario fulfilled, Pittsburgh is in the number 6 seed. Now, before we take any callers, the seedings are not finalized yet. With the Patriots losing to the Miami Dolphins today, they are not guaranteed the number 1 seed. The Denver Broncos could be the number 1 seed. If they beat the San Diego Chargers at 4 o'clock, that game should be kicking off here as we speak. So the Steelers seeding, it looks like right now, is most likely going to go through Cincinnati, in which case they would have to go back to Cincinnati in the wild card round next week. But as we find out this information, you will know it if it happens here on the live on the air. And if it doesn't happen live on the air, be sure to check out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com for all up-to-date information on the Steelers and their latest win. Now, it was an ugly win in Cleveland, and I'm waiting for someone to call in and complain about the style of play. But Mike Tomlin put it best at his halftime interview. He said, look, we're not here for style points. We're here to win. And that's exactly what they did. The defense rose up, and we're going to break that all down for you here in the next few, well, as long as really you want to. I mean, it's one of those deals where if you guys are talking, we're going to listen. So we have a caller already ready on the air. We have 832-256. Go ahead.
Woo!
That's how I feel.
Woo! This is Melvin from Dallas, and nobody, absolutely nobody, circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Oh,
we finally got in, gentlemen. Lady Luck finally put on a black and gold jersey. Finally. Sitting down here at my bar, and we were sitting on pins and needles. Didn't know what was going to happen. Didn't know if anything was going to happen our way. The only downside that I can say about today, where is my Hall of Fame quarterback? I need to find him. He hasn't been right since he threw that last interception against Denver. All the way back before the Ravens game, I need him to step up and play football. I'm hoping and I'm praying for my coach, for all them fire Tomlin haters. I hope that he comes out and he plays good ball. Because the way things are shaking out, we may have to go to New England. True enough, they got a leg dragging because they've got a lot of people injured. We may end up having to go to New England. I'd rather go to New England or Cincinnati. Right now, the way Ben has shown these last few games, having to go to Denver against that defense at Mile High, I don't like those odds right now. We still don't even know how long D'Angelo's going to be out. You know, that's another cog in the wheel of our offense. Defense, we still got to tackle. We still got to make interceptions when we have the opportunity to make interceptions. You know, we still a little bit too soft on defense. And let's be honest, the quarterback for Cleveland, if that is anybody who has any type of veteran experience, we're in trouble. We're in serious trouble. The way our defense played today, we did enough to get through. As my coach would say, I couldn't worry about nothing but what was going on in the stadium that we were playing in. But, you know, when we threw that last interception, everybody turned the TV and we was watching the Jets. But anyway, it's just a great feeling to be back in the playoffs. But we need to get off the hook, man, and get that first playoff win that we ain't had in 5 years. I get tired of people talking about my coach. Well, he hadn't won a playoff game in 5 years. My coach ain't had a losing season yet. So we need to rally the troops. Mike Tomlin, hey, he knows how to coach through adversity. He knows how to get a team together when it absolutely positively has to be done. We thought it was last week. But this week it absolutely positively had to be done, and then we had to flip a coin in the air and hope that it fell our way, man. Woo, Lord have mercy. I'm going to have 4 or 5 beverages, and it's going to be an Uber night.
Well, you know what?
Yeah,
that is good. No, the only thing I got to say is, you know, all the stuff that you said, Roethlisberger's poor play, defensive missed tackles, they're in the playoffs. And you know what I've noticed about this Pittsburgh Steelers team is that they play up to the level of competition. And there's not really any game that could possibly be in front of them that is going to have them be probably heavy favorites, if favored at all. Now, if they go into Cincinnati, which is, as I'm seeing here, is what the odds are that they will be traveling to next week, they might be favored in that game. If so, not by much. I think that Roethlisberger is a big game quarterback. I think that you've seen him struggle against the lesser teams. I expect good things from this offense. You hope that Martavis Bryant can mentally get himself together. He had a poor game.
Right.
Definitely not on the same page with Ben Roethlisberger, and you could see that on the field, and that's what becomes kind of discerning because Roethlisberger was furious after that first interception because Bryant, I guess, made a wrong read or ran a wrong route. All those things are going to have to get ironed out, but nothing gets your attention like the playoffs. And so if people want to complain about Tomlin and his inability of preparing the team, this, that, or the other, they're in the playoffs. And when the playoffs come around, it's game time. And I said this after last year's loss to the Ravens in the wild card round, is that the team was so young in so many positions that experience is going to help them. So most of these guys on the team now, because if you think about it, Bud Dupree and those rookies are the only players, they've been here, done that. Stephon Tuitt saw the playoffs last year. Ryan Chazier saw the playoffs last year. David DeCastro and Cameron Hayward played in their first playoff game last year. That's not going to surprise them this year. And they're on the road. Pittsburgh typically plays okay on the road. So I think it's going to be huge. Chris, what do you think?
Good points.
You know what they were talking about? Trent Green, can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. You heard Trent Green, as he always does, talk about everything negative about the Steelers when he does our games, and he was saying how we are not a road team. But you know what? I am not down about this team going on the road to take on anybody. I do think that maybe the toughest task would be playing Denver in their stadium with their extra element. But I am not afraid to go to Cincinnati, just like we did before in the playoffs, to beat them in the opening round. Also, I think it's important to note that technically we are not the sixth seed just yet. If all hell breaks loose, if pigs fly, and if the Chargers find some way to beat the Broncos, whichever one of those three are more likely to you, then I think the Broncos would drop down below us. Am I correct, Jeff? Because I can't remember if we have a tiebreaker on there, if they're two games ahead of us right now.
That makes sense because we beat them head to head, which would make the Chiefs the division winner. Ooh,
right.
Intriguing. Okay.
I'm pulling up the standings right now because I think they might be with their win last week. They might have gone two games ahead of us. Because I remember people not saying that we'll be the sixth seed, but that we would just be in the playoffs. And I thought that was like weird how they were thinking. Usually they say, oh, they're going to be this or they're going to be that.
If Denver already has 11 wins, it's null and void if they already have 11.
So we are definitely the sixth seed, which means most likely, Jeff, we're going to be playing the Bengals, or if the Broncos choke, then we would be playing the Broncos there.
Hey, guys, I'm going to run. It's shot time. Tell my boy Vito with his cool car. Good evening, gentlemen. It's so good to talk to you. My man Vito out there in New Jersey. We're going to playoffs, baby. Shots up. Go Steelers.
Oh,
I'm out.
My God. All right, Melvin, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. That's great. Go ahead with your thought, Chris, before we bring Vito, the man, the myth, the legend, on the air.
Just right now, I am not afraid of this team going on the road to face anyone. The Bengals in particular, you know, will Andy Dalton be back? Will they be on their A game? And I think now that the Steelers are in the playoffs, all the playing down stuff, like you said, they're not looking at the Bengals like, this could be a trap game. They're looking like it. I think they're probably going to come in this game like they did the last time they played the Bengals and say, you're not getting this today. You're not locking anything up today. And the defense is going to be psyched. They want to prove their point that they were the better team this season. And I am super pumped to see what they can pull off next week. But there's a lot of questions we still got to answer. One, what is the status of D'Angelo Williams? You saw him, jogging on the sideline after his injury. You're pretty sure that the team just wanted to protect him when they said he's out. But the ankle injury did not look good on film when it happened. And he immediately reached for like his shin area to his ankle. And you gotta wonder, with the way that he runs, he's such a downhill runner, and when he accelerates, he can really get up, but how much will that impact him? And also, you saw immediately, like right after he came out the game, Toussaint, he did have some good runs, but he was not the pass protector that D'Angelo Williams is in our system. There's a lot of things to consider there. So I think that's going to be a major story this week that everyone's going to need to keep their eyes on. As happy as we are right now, if we want to beat the Bengals, then we got that's going to be something to pay attention to. But Ben Roethlisberger looked shaky for most of the day. On the second drive, or really on the first two drives, he looked so sharp coming out and throwing laser passes. And then after that, he just seemed to not be able to. He just looked like he was off his game for a while, and he was able to put the game away thanks to some defensive turnovers and some big plays that he made. But it was just a scary game all day. The defense seemed to be missing tackles, but I'll tell you what, they came up with the big plays today. James Harrison's red zone interception, as clutch as it could get for the old man, heck of a way to end and what might be his last regular season for the Pittsburgh Steelers and in the NFL. The Timmons sack fumble, which I didn't even think was a fumble until it was until the replay, because I just thought there's no way we can have that kind of a fortunate thing happen for us. And then the kick return, that was a fumble. It all just seemed to roll our way for once when it came to the turnovers and the bounces of the ball. But Jeff, I'm excited to bring on our man Vito so he can talk to us. But you know, what are your feelings going forward when we're about to play the Bengals team that we beat just a few weeks ago?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough challenge. I mean, I don't think anyone, you know, just because you beat this team a couple weeks ago,
right,
I mean, it's going to be the same old song and dance. I think it's the Steelers fans need to kind of humble themselves and say, you know, look, it's going to be a tough game because the Bengals do what the Steelers sometimes struggle with, and that's if they can get a running game going, they're going to grind up the clock. They have a couple deep vertical threats on defense. We saw, again, Antoine Blake couldn't even cover Terrell Pryor, let alone A.J. Green. So the Steelers defensively are going to have to step up. I have no doubt in my mind that Pittsburgh is going to be able to move the ball, that they're going to be able to get some points on the board. If you remember, they had 23 offensively on the Bengals the last time they played. It was a pick six by William Gay that kind of gave them a 30 spot, which they were looking for. But you know what? In the playoffs, it doesn't matter as long as you have one more at the end of the day. And we're going to talk about that at length today, I'm sure. But if you want to call in, you can, 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. We have a couple callers here on hold. Let's get our man Vito from New Jersey. What's up, my friend?
Gentlemen, congratulations. Jeff, you called it last week. You thought that the Jets were going to slip up. I didn't see that happening all day long from the end of the game. I kept saying to my daughter, who was watching, saying, Daddy, the Jets are going to lose. Watch. And she kept saying it. I kept saying, no, they're going to come back and win. And then, you know, I stepped out 1 second to take the dogs out with, like, under 4 minutes left. And she says, yeah, the other team got the ball. I said, what do you mean? And I saw that Fitzpatrick had thrown another pick. Then I'm watching at the last minute, and I'm saying, they're going to score. They're going to go down the field and score. They did it last week to the Patriots. Why wouldn't they do it here? And then what does he do? He goes down and he throws his third pick. And I'm saying to myself, can this guy, who's been a backup journeyman most of his career, play in the big game and win? So here's my question. Playoffs coming up. Who would you rather have, Ryan Fitzpatrick or Ben Roethlisberger? I know my answer. Shaky or not, with 2 minutes to go, and he's got the ball, I would give it to the guy that's probably had over 24 game-winning drives over the guy that's had 11 and has never played in a big game in how many years? Think about it. And the defense, I thought, even though they weren't perfect, they did a great job. 6 sacks, a lot of pressure on the guy, 3 takeaways. I mean, look at how many good teams today were not unbelievable. I mean, there's a lot of great teams out there that didn't play spectacular today. If you look at, you know, the games today, everybody had some miscues and mistakes. But I thought Pittsburgh came to play. I mean, I liked their performance. I would give them at least an A-minus today. I thought they did a good job. And even though Ben wasn't 100%, still threw over 300 yards passing, made some nice throws. Yeah, he threw 2 picks. But the defense kept them to just field goals, which, you know, if you could keep any team to just field goals, you should be able to win that game. And they put up, what, 27 points? So it was a big day for them. And I don't think they ever looked – I don't think the scoreboard even mattered. I think they went about doing what they had to do and figured if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, hey, what could we do? So great performance all around. I think it was a great team effort. They weren't perfect, but not every team is week in and week out. We could see that. And you know what? At the end of the day, like I just said, would Fitzpatrick have been able to lead this team if they would have made the playoffs – to the Super Bowl? I don't think so. I've never liked him as a quarterback. I've always thought he was a choker. And, you know, I was just thinking that he's been lucky that he's had the right pieces around him, but I never saw him as a great quarterback. That's why Ben's getting, what, $19 million a year and won 2 rings, and the other guy is just that.
Yeah, and you know, talking about Ben, and he didn't have a great game, and he hasn't looked that confident in his receivers as of late. They're going to have to put together a good plan for the first round of the playoffs. But I'll tell you what, I think what always comes to my mind is that you look at the D'Angelo Williams injury, and yes, it's going to hurt the balance of the team. But sometimes I think that without the running game, you can basically tell Todd Haley, don't dial up all these draw runs and just throw the football. I mean, let's be honest. Where's the Steelers' strength on offense? It's throwing the football. It's getting it to Antonio Brown, Marcus Wheaton. You saw Darius Hayward-Bey making plays today. And so I think that maybe without a running back, now I'm not saying I hope that D'Angelo Williams plays because he gives them that extra added balance. And this may sound like absolute poppycock to a lot of people, but at the same time, I think that the lack of a running game is not going to hurt the Steelers' offense. In the playoffs, you know what? Do what you do best, and that's throw the football. Go out there, and I like the Steelers throwing the ball, even if it's over 40 times against a very, you know, I think it's a very suspect Cincinnati Bengals defense, and I'm assuming that's who they're going to play, obviously, in the first round. But I have no qualms about the Steelers if they have to just let Ben win the game. Like you said, that's why he gets paid the big bucks. That's why he's won 2 Super Bowls, and that's why he's in the playoffs again, hoping to get a third. Chris, what do you think?
As far as Ben Roethlisberger's play, I mean, we were chatting during the game, Jeff, and I was just like, man, it really seems like he's trying to keep us out the playoffs the way he played last week, and then the way he was starting to play this week after he threw that first touchdown to Heath. But you know what? Maybe there's a chance that this has something to do with just he. You know, the team went through a lot. You know, those back to back really. That series of really tough games against high ranked opponents. And then coming into these last two games, and then the flu seemed to hit the team. And maybe there's a lot of circumstances that we don't – there's definitely circumstances that we don't understand or know about. But maybe those had a bigger impact on the game than we can imagine. And that has a show as to why the team, did what it did today, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I'll tell you what I'm still confused about, and I'm a little worried about this because I think he can be a Bengal killer. Martavis Bryant didn't show up in the second half. There seemed to be no mention of him outside of the Steelers reporters on social media. But I thought he dropped a pass, and then he went to the sideline, and they were working on him. And then he just disappeared. The CBS people didn't talk about him. I didn't see any news about where he was or what he did, if he was brought out because he was hurt or because he was not playing well. And he hadn't been playing well. I mean, really, he had – well, it's just really two bad games in a row because he did have a really good game against the Broncos. But there's a lot of concerns. But I'll tell you what, Ben Roethlisberger, he showed – he seems to have this uncanny connection with Antonio Brown that we know he has. And Marcus Wheaton continues to step up for it. But Darius Heyward-Bey – proven to be the reliable veteran backup receiver that we picked him up to be with the big catch he had over the middle to get us out of the back of our own end zone. We believe in what you're saying, Jeff, about we can just go into play games and just look to win them with their best weapon. Because we've seen how last week we ran for 100 yards and it still didn't help us win. But the week before, against the Broncos, our run was completely shut down, but we threw all over them, and it led us to a win. To be honest, it's just going to be about can the offense create the chemistry that we know that they can create when they're clicking. And if they click, then, I'd say watch out, NFL. If they don't click, we're going to be watching games like the past 2 weeks. So whatever it is about the hot and cold Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know, but it certainly seems like these past 2 weeks he wasn't reading the defenses as well, and he seemed to be making after the play adjustments a lot more. But I'm hoping that coming into these games he knows the Bengals, he's beaten the Broncos, he's beaten the Chiefs before, and we played the Chiefs earlier this season. We've been up against the Patriots. He should I really hope that that's something that he'd be ready for. And I mean that's it. Those are the teams that we got to worry about right now. And when you're thinking about those opponents, those aren't teams that that seem to give him a really, really hard time in their history. The Bengals had a good performance at home against Ben Roethlisberger earlier this season, but that last performance, yes, we had a pick six, but the Steelers put up 30-some points on them. And I think if AJ McCarron's still back there, I think that we can contain him and create some turnovers for us. So I'm confident about Ben moving forward and hoping that he'll fix the stuff, but he really was scaring me last week and this week.
Anything else, Vito, before we let you go?
Yeah, I'm listening to what Chris is saying, and I'm just thinking the game that Ben came back against Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, Steelers defense did a very good job at holding them to under 20 points that game. And if Ben doesn't throw those two mental interceptions, there is a good possibility that we would have won that game as well. So I think the defense will rise up to the occasion. Hopefully, D'Angelo Williams is available next week because same thing last year. We went into the playoffs, wild card game against the Ravens, and without a running back, it seemed like we were lost, and they came in the same way. We still had the great receivers then, too. What changed? Was it their pass rush just got to us? So I don't get it because that's a game that we could have controlled and we should have been able to win, especially being at home, number one. And number two, we still had the weapons last year we had this year. So Could be some mental mistakes, could be a bunch of different things. Maybe, you know, he's not 100%. But who's 100% this late in the season? I'm sure a lot of people aren't. I mean, if you notice, Tom Brady's been getting killed lately. I mean, he got sacked a couple of times today, brutally. I mean, you know, the guy's been getting mauled out there on the field all year this year because, you know, he doesn't have that same great team he once had. So I think if we were to go down there and face them, I think we should be able to match them. There's no reason why we can't. They're not as good as they once were. And even though they have the best quarterback, you could clearly see that he's not what he once was. And you could clearly see that the team is totally different, the Patriots. I mean, look, the Dolphins took care of him today.
Absolutely, Vito.
Anybody could win,
right? You know,
anybody, listen, any week, anybody could win. And I remember somebody once saying the best team doesn't always win. The Jets were probably the better team today defensively than the Bills were, right? And for some reason, even though they held the Bills to a lot of field goals and just two TDs, their offense just couldn't get it going. They came in and they looked flat today after being hot the last 5 or 6 weeks. And because in the NFL, anybody could beat anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a game of momentum. I firmly believe that. A lot of people dismiss that. I don't. And I think this win for the Steelers and them getting into the playoffs, they're going to be surging next week. And especially if it's the Bengals, you're going to have that added motivation. You're going to have that uber focused by those teams. It's going to be a great battle. So, Vito, as always, thanks for the call. I guess we'll talk
gentlemen,
to you
gentlemen, we'll talk on Wednesday, right?
Absolutely, my friend. Take it easy. Enjoy the win. You know, the thing is I think with the Steelers, you don't know what the inconsistency is what worries everybody, and rightfully so. But at this point, I think I saw a quote from Ben Roethlisberger after the game. He said, look, it's a new season. Everyone's 0-0. You just got to go and win one game at a time, literally. And so I think with the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you have a chance of, you know, you throw a team out there, you got to win one game, I like the Steelers. I like them a lot. Let's get some more callers in the air. You can still call in 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. Lines are open. So if you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you. You just may have to listen to the show for a little bit. Let's get another caller on the air. 407-864. You're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, Jeff and Chris. This is Dan in Orlando.
Hey,
what's up, Dan? How are you good? Good win. I'm glad we pull it out, and glad we're going to the playoffs. I don't have to be depressed, Dan, this week, and look forward to hopefully a good playoff game. And I don't have much of a question. I think you guys touched on the running back. I think that'll be my biggest concern. Just because Toussaint, I don't know how good he is with blocking or anything, but you know that was our biggest problem last year. This exact same thing happened. You know, Le'Veon Bell went out, and that you know 2 years ago was the last year. I can't remember. So now we lost Angelo Williams. So I think, you know, maybe it'll be okay, but that's my only concern, really.
Well, Dan, I think, and I was going to mention this. Vito brought up the Le'Veon Bell 2014, got hurt in week 17 against the Bengals, missed the playoff game against the Ravens, and it was very noticeable. I think for me, the only difference is the biggest difference, I should say, is that the Steelers are not as reliant on D'Angelo Williams as they were on Le'Veon Bell last year. Last year, Le'Veon Bell was easily, I would say, 50% of their offense. And that might seem like a lot, but that's the truth. They every check down, pass blocking, the offense does not necessarily run through D'Angelo Williams like it did Le'Veon Bell. And so because of that, I look at this and say that if he's not able to play, they're better equipped for success in 2015, even with Toussaint back there. But at the same time, it's going to be an absence. It's not going to be seamless. I'm not saying that. But I think that if you're going to compare 2014 with Le'Veon Bell missing the game because of his knee injury to D'Angelo Williams, if he's unable to play, obviously with the upcoming season or the upcoming playoff game, I think that's the big difference. Chris, what do you think?
Sorry, say again, Jeff. I keep losing you guys.
No, that's okay. I just said that I don't think the 2014, you know, you compare the 2014 injury to Le'Veon Bell, and then I compared this D'Angelo Williams injury, and I think the biggest comparison, the difference is that in 2014, the Steelers were so reliant on Le'Veon Bell. He was so much a part of the offense in terms of blitz pickup, running routes as a receiver, running the football. And then also, even in the flat, as you know, a safety valve for Roethlisberger, they're not as focused now on the running back position because of Bell's injury last year, and then this year playing with D'Angelo Williams, who is a different running back. I think that they're better equipped for success now than they were last year without Bell if D'Angelo Williams can't play. Do you agree or disagree?
Okay, I think I caught most of that. I agree, and totally. Their offense is more prepared to deal with the absence of a running back, especially since they kind of had to deal with that already this season. They have not been overly reliant on D'Angelo Williams, and the one time that they tried to be, it didn't work out for the offense last week. But when you look at the way that this offense has worked, you know, it's about keeping you off balance, taking what you give them, and that's when we've been at our best, when you've seen the Steelers dink and dunk you, and then eventually you get too aggressive on a play, and Antonio Brown will take you for 60 yards, or Martavis Bryant will speed down the field on you, or Marcus Wheaton will slip behind you and get a big touchdown. You know, there's a lot of things that I like about this offense. They're definitely in a better position than they were last year. And as much as we get on the defense this year, and rightfully so with some of the things that they do, this defense is definitely better than the defense we had last season. We have a better pass rush. I think our secondary, you know, is performing better. I won't say they are like, you know, leaps and bounds a better secondary, but they're playing at a higher level. I think the addition of Ross Cockrell, Brandon Boykin, and a healthy Mike Mitchell really helps. Though he dropped there's a lot of things that I'm happy about going into this playoff game. Going into Baltimore last year, you know, I felt like I was whistling through the graveyard because I was just so nervous about how the absence of Bell. So many of the big plays that got the Steelers wins going into the later part of the last year were because Ben Roethlisberger could drop back. If he didn't see anybody, he dumped it to Le'Veon Bell. And even if he was in coverage, he was going to shake somebody and get like 10 yards out of it and save the drive. This year, he hasn't had the chance to rely on that because Le'Veon Bell, basically when he came back, Ben went out. And when Ben came back, Bell went out. There's, you know, I don't think it'll be that much of an impact because Ben has had to work without Bell all season. And to me, the biggest threat about Bell outside of when you just give him the ball is how dangerous his hands were and how he was after the catch. So you're absolutely right, Jeff. This team is in a much better position. Now Jeff, I want you to chime in on this. Do you agree with me in saying that you feel better about the defense this year compared to last year?
Oh, hands down, you do. I mean, yeah, I think there's a couple things that you can point to about this defense that are markedly better than last year's defense. Number one, their ability to get after the quarterback. I think they had finished with maybe 7 sacks today, if I'm correct. Let me check that quickly. I'll check that stat to make sure we're sure. Yeah, 7 sacks. So they had 7 sacks. And I understand it's against the Browns. I don't care. There's not going to be an asterisk next to these sacks when you're talking about total sacks for a season. So I think that's number one. Number two, they're very opportunistic. They're getting turnovers, which is helping the offense. And I think the biggest thing is that their red zone defense has improved tremendously. And I know it's the Cleveland offense, but they're holding teams to field goals. Cleveland, if the defense faltered in the red zone, kind of like they did in Week 16 against Baltimore, in Week 17, the Cleveland Browns could have won this football game. They held them to field goals, and that's why they ended up coming away with the victory. Dan, anything else before we let you go?
Yeah, I agree with you. That makes a whole lot of sense. And I think what Chris said like last week, it seems like when we were relying on D'Angelo Williams at like the first half last week, and they just seemed so sluggish and like nothing was happening. So it might be better off that we just focus on the pass and maybe run Tucson if we can. And I didn't have a chance to call in on Wednesday. I just had one comment, it was just like, fortunately, it's moot now, but it seems like I agree with you guys wholeheartedly about Tomlin and how like it's certainly not just a Tomlin problem, but we also might seem to have a Ravens problem now, unfortunately, where they have they've won 5 of the last 6 games against us, and so that's maybe a different discussion. Unfortunately, it doesn't matter right now, but you know, go Steelers. So I can't wait for next week, and I'll probably talk to you guys on Wednesday.
Yeah, definitely, Dan. Thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it, as always. The one thing I want to say about the Baltimore Ravens is, guess what they're doing? They're watching the playoffs. Guess who's in the playoffs?
Yeah.
The first Steelers. If they won 8, if the Ravens sweeping Steelers every year would equate to a Steelers playoff berth every year, I'd take it. I don't care. Because ultimately, what matters? Lombardi trophies matter. Pittsburgh has six of them. They don't. They don't even have a shot to extend theirs. Pittsburgh does. So you know what? They can. People want to talk about the Steelers and the Ravens, the Week 16 loss of the Ravens. I don't care because it's over with. And like Roethlisberger said, it's a new season, starting fresh. I like this team moving forward, that's for sure. And plus, I just love the fact that the Ravens are missing the playoffs and the Steelers are in. I live in Maryland. If you listen to the show, you know that. You know that when I go back to work tomorrow, I'm going to get to rub it in every single one of those people's faces that wear those hideous purple, ugly sweaters every freaking day and talk about the Ravens, and I'll be wearing my Steelers gear, smiling ear to ear. I won't say a word, just smile. You know what I mean? I'm classy like that, Chris. I'm not going to be the one that's going to be bad. I'm just going to smile at them and say, hey, hope you had a good break. Steelers are in the playoffs. Have a good one. But anyways, let's get to our next caller here. 347-605. I think this is Bryce from Brooklyn. I think I memorized the number. Bryce, is this you?
No, this is not. This is Ken from New Jersey, but I am from Brooklyn.
Ken from New Jersey. My apologies, Ken. My apologies. What's up, man? What's going on?
Woo! Oh man, I'm loving it right now. Still hasn't sunk in, but you know what? Watching the games, it was kind of weird just kind of watching, you know, that game and then looking back to the other screen watching the Jets game. Not really used to that, but it is what it is, and we made it happen. We did what we needed to do. So basically what I want to talk about is I've been noticing the last few weeks Ben has been really failing footballs. A lot of his footballs are high, even the ones that are completed, you know, going over the middle, the post patterns. You know, guys got to go up. Like, Heath had to go up to get one. Brown had to go up to get one. In the red zone, he was on a money. But I'm thinking, is that high, you know, that high ankle sprain, just the end of the season, is he, like, tired? Are his legs – I don't know if he's bringing his legs with his mechanics when he's throwing. I've really been noticing that. So I'm a little worried about, you know, in the playoffs because he's just throwing stuff. And, you know, he had one play today where he was in the pocket and he kind of threw up the back foot to the sideline and, you know, it almost got picked off. So he's something I'm really worried about. I'm not really hearing people talk about. So, just, you know, that's the first point. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I haven't gotten a chance. I did record the game. I'll go back and watch it to watch the mechanics. The one thing you have noticed about Roethlisberger is there's a couple things. He's a very trusting quarterback, and that's a very multifaceted comment. And what I mean by that is that when he trusts his wide receivers, I mean, look who he throws to the most, Antonio Brown, very precise route runner. He sees exactly what Roethlisberger sees. They are on time more than they aren't. Not always the case with Wheaton, not always the case with Bryant. That's an issue moving forward. So because of that, he's not going to let it rip as well as much as he would with those guys as he does with Antonio Brown. Secondly, the injury to his legs. If he feels that there are going to be defensive linemen around his feet and he doesn't see that clear pocket that sometimes the Steelers' offensive line has given him, he can be a little gun-shy. You can see him not step into the throw, and when you don't step into it, if you coach anything that involves throwing, whether it's baseball, football, whatever, you don't step into the throw, it's going to go out high. And so I think that when you see that, Roethlisberger, he has to get into a rhythm. And I think in the last few games, you see him coming out, it hasn't been precise. It hasn't been clean. That's what they have to clean up. But you're right. Roethlisberger has not been that great. He's thrown multiple picks, I want to say, in the last – at least the last three games, maybe even going back further than that. He has to clean up his play if they want to go into beyond the wild card round, win a playoff game, go into the divisional round, or aspirations of a Super Bowl victory. Is Roethlisberger capable of it? Absolutely. Has he, throughout his career – had stretches of poor play and turned it around? Yes. Go back and look at ESPN.com stats. Go game by game. You can look at the passer rating. Every time he has a lull, he typically comes back and hits a hot stretch. So as a fan of the Steelers, we're all hoping that we get that hot stretch coming up here in the playoffs because that's what they're going to need if they want to contend for another championship. Chris, what do you think?
I absolutely agree, Jeff. He's a thing as well. He does lack consistency in some days. He also has an extremely good bounce back. When he finds his rhythm, he finds it like nobody else. And you can see that with the way that he's played. Look at, if you remember the 2008 season, the last time the Steelers won the Super Bowl, he had that stretch where he threw 7 interceptions in a span of 2 games that season against the Giants and the Colts. And then after that, he was able to get it together, light it up, and then he had, you know, the great playoff run that he had that year. You know, 2005, he had some rough days, you know, but he was able to turn around and get it right for the playoffs. Though he didn't have a good Super Bowl, he had a good three playoff games leading up to the Super Bowl. You know, Ben can be somewhat bipolar when it comes to his performances. So, I mean, it's always good to see him doing well. But when he's doing bad, you know, you're not happy to see it. But something that we've been able to feel like as Steelers fans is that, all right, once he turns the corner from this problem area, whatever that is, you know, he could really light it up. Now, we just got to hope that corner comes before next week so that he can be ready and he can put up the point and lead us to victory. But I do have confidence in the guy. And as nervous as I do get with him, I really think that these last 5 years of this contract that he's on with us, he has a chance to stake his claim as, you know, people know he's a great quarterback and he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but literally in the top five quarterback conversation with the way that he finishes his career here in Pittsburgh. And that's something that people didn't talk about years ago because they thought he was just, oh, he's a tough guy, he's a big guy, he has a big arm, and he can make a big play now and then in the clutch. But now he's really becoming the superstar elite quarterback that we've all said, like, you know, once he gets it all together, he can beat it. So I believe that he can get it together and that he will get it together, and we'll see a different Ben Roethlisberger next week, especially against the Bengals, who he has lit up in the past.
Absolutely. Yeah, the way the Steelers play defense, they've been kind of a bend but don't break, you know, not giving a lot of points up in the red zone, excuse me. I want to call this the bend but don't Blake defense, okay? And of course, I'm talking about Antoine Blake. He is obviously a topic of discussion for a lot of Steelers fans, but just watching the guy, I'm watching his positioning. He had the Terrell Pryor long. He gave up the long catch to Terrell Pryor today, but just his positioning and football awareness. Like, he's there, obviously he's short, but it's like, dude, you know, come on, man. Use some of that physicality. And, you know, as long as Blake doesn't in the way, I remember seeing after that play, Cockrell was in there. You know, you could have called pass interference or not, but he was in position. Cockrell was looking back at the ball. He was going with the guy, so the guys are not outrunning him. And, you know, he's just there, and he's tall enough. He's 6 foot. He's just, like, there to interrupt and intercept the pass if it is, you know, if it's close to him. So I don't know why we continue to have Blake out. I understand that we don't really have that many guys that are capable and know what they're doing. But at the same time, you know, I don't see when we're going up against the best. You know, and that one mistake may cost us a playoff victory. So I'm a little worried about that. So I've been calling it the bend but don't Blake defense, because as long as Blake doesn't get us, you know, we're fine. But as soon as it's like we have to give up one long play to, you know, by Blake, and then Tomlin makes a switch or Keith Butler makes a switch, and then we tighten things up. It's been like that for a consecutive few weeks, you know, maybe even the second half of the season. So that's it. I'm happy. I'm going back in the sports bar. I'm going to have the rest of my Yingling and enjoy this. Still hasn't sunk in. I'm still burnt from the Chiefs and Ryan Suckup a couple years ago, but, hey, I'm enjoying this right now. Thanks, guys.
There you go.
Thanks for calling in. You know, the funny thing is you talk about Blake, and I would love to sit here and tell callers that call in, you know what, it's going to change, and Tomlin's going to watch the film and he's going to say, what in the heck, we've got to get this kid off the field. It's just not going to change. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take. Obviously, it's nothing on the field. It must be something off the field. I don't know. You did see more Ross Cockrell in the second half. I don't know. I'll have to check the defensive snap total in terms of how much. Maybe they were doing a Blake plays first half, Cockrell plays the second half. If that's their theory and that's their idea going into this game, then people should be fired, because that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. If Antoine Blake goes out there, and number one, he missed practice up until Friday. And they put him out there to start, and he's getting torched and gives up a big pass play at the end of the first half to a guy who wasn't even a wide receiver in Terrell Pryor that sets up a field goal. I'm sorry. There comes a time where you say you're a liability. The question is, when is it going to click in the coaching staff's mind that this is a liability that needs to be adjusted as soon as possible, not just when we feel like it? Will that come? I don't know. Do I think it'll come? No. I think Steelers fans, I hate to say this, you're going to see more Antoine Blake next week, probably lined up against A.J. Green, and you better pray that the Pittsburgh pass rush gets to A.J. McCarron, or else it's going to be a long day for Antoine Blake again. He's rated one of the worst cornerbacks by Pro Football Focus, and the Steelers keep throwing him out there every week. Chris, I'm done talking about it. What do you think?
Man, it was crazy because in the first quarter, I saw he broke up a pass, he made a really solid hit, and he had a sack. And I was like, okay, Antoine Blake, he could be on my winner's list today. I just want to put him on there. And then he just became Antoine Blake again. He fell back down to earth after jumping up 5 feet. And it was oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe it. You saw Terrell Pryor. He's been a receiver all of 2 days. And he's just skying up to get it on him. That is so frustrating to see. And I can save you some time, Jeff. I don't think Blake touched the field in the second half. Because I kept looking for him. Because when I saw that play, I just got super nervous. And I just kept looking for him the second half. Where is he? I could not find him on the field. I mean, if he was on the field, it might have been for special teams or in the quarter packages when they needed to go max coverage. But, you know, I agree with you. There's some sort of reason that they got for putting Antoine Blake back in there every week. Now, maybe part of it is they're trying to keep Brandon Boykin and Ross Cox. They're trying to keep rotation so that people aren't tired in the fourth quarter. You know, maybe that's just a theory. I bet it's not an official thing at all. I've never even heard that before. It's just something that popped in my mind. Like, maybe they're just keeping him out there to keep fresh legs because they do like to have rotations on stuff. But still, it just felt like you said, the liability that he brings when he covers people, it is just so frustrating to watch. I mean, he's pretty quick when he knows what's coming. But I mean, you saw today in that one pass on third down, you know, he had a beat on the ball and he just got there late, and it ended up being a catch for a first down, and it was in the red zone. It was just I wanted to like this guy, and I mean, I like him as like a guy. He's not out there quitting. You know, he's making a lot of mistakes, but you don't see him out there just not trying. You just see him out there just getting outplayed because he's just not that good. But one thing I will say, you know, I've wanted to advocate for this guy to say that he's not as bad as he is, but every turn, and especially in the second half of the season, he has proved me wrong. You know, I don't think the Steelers would be here without him. That pick six that he had against the Chargers changed everything around in that game. And without that win, we're definitely sitting at home right now saying, man, what could have been the playoffs and everything. There are things that he's done positive for this team to get them here. But right now, I don't want to see him on the field unless it's for special teams and we need a gunner, because you know he does have pretty good straight line speed, just not good overall football speed. But I'm hoping that we don't see him out there as much unless it's like an emergency situation. But I mean, at this point, I'd rather see if Will Allen is okay, because they did pull him at one point. I'd rather see Robert Golden out there covering people, because he's proved to be a reliable backup safety for the team compared to how Blake has proved to be not a reliable corner. So that's my stance on that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Did you notice something about the pass coverage in the second half? Oh, yeah, it was better. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, every time the guy's on the field, he gets targeted. It's not – he gives up a lot of plays, but he's also thrown at more than probably any other cornerback in the league. And so you look at it and say, well, then if you don't put him on the field, they can't target him as much. And it just is so, so frustrating for fans, and you and I are fans, and it is for us as well. And unfortunately, people look to us for answers in some situations, and we just – I don't have any. I don't have any inside knowledge. I don't have any inside information. In terms of this, it comes down to the simple fact that for some reason the coaching staff keeps them out there, but it is what it is. Now, we have a quick break in callers. If you want to call in, you still can, 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581 is the phone number to get on the air. Let's talk about some statistics while we have a little break in the action. Some really good defensive statistics. Lawrence Timmons with a sack and a half. Stephon Tuitt kind of breaks through with two. Will Allen gets one. Arthur Motes finally gets one. Antoine Blake, Speak of the Devil, finally gets one. They had seven sacks. They had quarterback hits. They had eight quarterback hits. They were all over Austin Davis. And, you know, they got the turnovers as well. William Gay had a pick. James Harrison, that crucial pick that you talked about, fumbled. They were able to force fumbles. It was a great, pretty good defensive outing. To be honest with you, I mean, they gave up 12 points. They held them on fourth down on several occasions. Offensively, Roethlisberger, he had 24 for 36, 349 yards, three touchdowns, two interceptions. His rating was actually 102.7. That was a little higher than I thought it was going to be. Not much of a running game from anybody. Fitzgerald Toussaint had 12 carries for 24 yards. And there just weren't any holes. I mean, it's not that this kid can carry the football. We've seen him do it. There's no holes for the run through. But Antonio Brown, 13 catches, 187 yards, one touchdown, 17 targets. Man, I mean, no one else on the team had more than three. Marcus Wheaton had three catches for 57 yards. Keith Miller had three for 18. And Antonio Brown was 13. You have to think, though, for the playoffs, Chris, that's got to change. He's got to spread the ball around more and then hit Antonio Brown. But at the same time, if you're throwing him 17 passes and he catches 13, I guess he might as well keep throwing him the football, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it makes for good opportunities. And every time the ball's in his hands, you just got to sit down and you just got to think, you know, what could he do to someone? Early in the game, the Browns were giving Brown a lot of space to work with, and you saw him just torching left and right. Then they tried to double him. They tried to get a linebacker out on him to try and take away under route and keep the corner on top of him. And it limited the amount of times they could go to him, but it also became, you know, he still also made some amazing plays that way. That first touchdown catch, that pass, first of all, was so on point. It was a laser. Nobody could touch it but AB, and it was right in between two defenders. I couldn't believe it with the way how it just flew in there like that. But AB, he's just a freak of nature. Antonio Brown is the first player in NFL history with 125 receptions or more in back-to-back seasons. He finishes the year with nine touchdowns on 136 receptions, and get this, 1,834 yards. Good Lord, that man is bad. And think about it. That's what, 166 yards short of a 2,000. And you look at that and you wonder, man, if Ben had been healthy for those four whole games that he missed, you know he gets it. You know he gets at least 40 yards a game in those games. You know, the rest of the league is fortunate that Ben Roethlisberger and really the whole Steelers roster has been as hurt up as it has been, because as much as they've been out, they've still been the biggest problem in the league. And I still gotta look at what Julio Jones did today, and then compare it to what his difference was over Brown, because he overtook Brown for the lead in yardage last week after Brown had a rough week against the Ravens. Not a rough week, he just was limited against the Ravens. He might have led the league in receiving. Julio Jones had the lead on him last week, but I didn't get to see what they did. So, you know, who knows what we're looking at. But Antonio Brown, you know, you're right. When you throw it to him that much, you know, and he gets that kind of result, it's tough to argue with it. But, you know, I'm hoping whatever was in Martavis Bryant, he can be back next week and he can be a playmaker next week. But, you know, Marcus Wheaton, he gets open. He makes plays. He catches the ball. That red zone touchdown he had, man, it was so good. It was on the money. He made the play. And he rolled for the, he got his knee and his shoulder down in the inbounds to make a play. He's reliable. Heath Miller's another guy. You know, he's going to be making those plays. You know, D'Angelo Williams with the underwrite if he's healthy. And, you know, Will Johnson, don't forget that guy made some big catches for us last year, you know, out the backfield. The Steelers have options. And, oh, I'm sorry, Darius Heyward-Bey, I don't want to leave the brother out. He's a baller for us. He can get it done. So there are weapons. Ben should spread it around more. But, you know, it's obvious he was trying. It seems like he's really trying to target A.B. Like, and maybe, you know, this sounds crazy, Jeff, and I'm not saying this is an official thing, and this is just an outside, you know, fluke chance of a theory of being even possibly right, or a crazy hypothesis, if we'll call it. There's a chance that Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers wanted A.B. to break the record. Going into last week, he needed 380 yards to break the all-time single-season receiving record, which means if he had gotten, 190 yards averaging on these last two games against two really poor defenses, you know, throughout the season, he might have been able to, you know, he would have tied the record, or he would have broke the record with 380 yards. Now, today, he put up 187, so, it's still a tall task. I don't think that Mike Tomlin was thinking about. I know Mike Tomlin definitely wasn't thinking about it. But there might have been a chance that Ben was trying to get his guy the ball these past 2 weeks to try and help him break a record and set history. Outside chance, unlikely chance, but it's a thought. It definitely was in AB's mind at some point. Like, hey, I could set the record here, but the goal here is to get the win. And that's what they did today. And, you know, I'm sure that they will never talk about it. They'll never admit to thinking about it. But it makes you wonder, maybe that had something to do with Ben targeting Antonio Brown as much. Because we've seen throughout the season, he hasn't been afraid to throw him to Martavis Bryant. Even when he does drop the ball, he hasn't been afraid to throw to Darius Heyward-Bey or Marcus Wheaton or Heath Miller or any of his receivers. He's been able to trust the system on many occasions and make the play. So that's how I feel about Antonio Brown and the targeting of him moving forward. But I'm too excited to see how this team comes out next week and who they'll play next week, because like we said, the Broncos can go from division winner and the first round bye, the home field advantage, because the Patriots, I can't believe the Patriots lost two games in a row to end the season. Oh, and you know what, I'm sorry, Jeff, can I take a second to do your teed off segment?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, here's my thing, Steelers fans, you know what really grinds my gears? We talk about how the Steelers lose against bad teams and teams that lose in records and yada, 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 yada. But we don't realize that happens across the NFL. I want you to look at some of the teams that have lost games this year that are ranked, that have bye weeks or that are in the playoffs. The Arizona Cardinals lost to the St. Louis Rams early in the season. And not in a pretty way, not in a, wow, the Rams just really came and took it to them, and the Cardinals put up a good fight. It was bad. You know, Todd Gurley and them, they ran all over the Cardinals in ways that they got beat by Landry Jones this season. Those type of things happen. But the reason I'm bringing it up today is because look at the New England Patriots. All they had to do was beat the Miami Dolphins, which they do every year. Every year, beat the Miami Dolphins, or last week beat the New York Jets. You know, and you win either of those last two games, you lock up the first round, but you lock up home field advantage, and that's Bill Belichick. That's the guy that everyone puts on their Mount Rushmore of greatest of all time coaches. Now, I don't put him there because of the cheating, but you're looking at a team. They got Tom Brady, who's supposed to be the greatest of all time. They got Bill Belichick. They got back Rob Gronkowski. They're supposed to be, and they're handling the AFC East, which has been one of the least competitive divisions for a while now. And they drop games too, because you know why? The NFL, as Vito was saying earlier, they're the league's full of professionals. Anybody can win at any point in time. And by me saying this, I'm not saying the Patriots suck. I'm not saying that that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are horrible coach and player, because no, they have accomplished, you know, just as much as the greatest of all time players could hope to accomplish. But when you look at at how, I mean, how they played, I mean, they laid an egg against the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, as much as we're nervous about going into this postseason, New England fans have to be just as nervous. They just dropped two in a row to divisional opponents, to opponents that usually they handle pretty well. I mean, it's something to me that I'm just like, man, you know, as fortunate as they have been this year with the way that, you know, they got Brady back early in the season and they've been able to deal with, you know, things at the right time. They've had some, they've had some tough games. If you date back for the past, what, five games, they lost to Denver. They lost to the Eagles at home, another inexcusable loss. They were able to beat the Houston Texans pretty soundly. And they beat they beat the Titans, but then they lost to the Jets, and they lost to the Dolphins. Tell me if we lost to the Dolphins and the Eagles, you know that everyone would bring those up, and Mike Tomlin, he can't coach against the lesser team, yada 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 yada. And yeah, Bill Belichick has a lot more in his pedigree than Mike Tomlin because he has four Super Bowls. But it happens. These things go down. Now, when you look at these games, next time you feel like saying, oh, the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, he doesn't know how to coach against, you know, the trap game or whatever like that. That it's not really a thing. Yes, there are records there, but I ask you this. If Mike Tomlin's not that great of a coach and we have such and such bad record against losing teams, then how the heck do we have the good record that the Steelers have under Mike Tomlin and a Super Bowl and another AFC championship and some and division titles in those spans and never have a losing record? It means that we got to be playing the good teams pretty doggone good. So sorry for going on taking your teed off segment for the show, Jeff, but just looking at how that happened, I'm sitting there, I'm just thinking, I know that if this was us, you know, people would be all over Tomlin every day of the week, not every day of the week, every minute of the hour, saying that, you know, he can't do this and he can't do that, and he will get the blame for everything. And if we lost today, if Ben came out there and threw three more interceptions and we somehow lost the game against the Browns, Mike Tomlin would get the blame, not Ben Roethlisberger, not players that made mistakes on the field when they were coached to be in the right position. But it would be Mike Tomlin. It drives me up a wall, tired of it. Jason Whitlock said that we made the playoff once in the past 4 years because he just thought we were naturally out. He can kick rocks. We're in the playoffs for 2 years straight. Go Steelers. I'm happy about Mike Tomlin. Jeff, sorry for taking the mic for so long.
No, that's okay. And I'm just going to have a little conversation here because let me check. Yeah, we don't have any other callers waiting, and so it's a good time to just talk about some stuff. And I wrote an article this morning, Chris. I don't know if you got a chance to read it. And I was constantly bombarded on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, on our Twitter feed, with the word deserving. People saying that because the Steelers lost to the Browns, the Ravens in Week 16, that it doesn't matter if they get it. They don't deserve it, is what they said. And so I just kept thinking, I'm like, man, deserving, really? Like, they're going to say that this team, that's been through so much this year, doesn't deserve to celebrate, to deserve to get into the playoffs? A team that's probably going to win and now did win 10 wins doesn't deserve to get into the playoffs? I just had to write an article. I wrote an article basically saying, look at what has happened to this team so far. I mean, suspensions of Bell and Bryant to start the year. Pouncey gets hurt in the preseason. Freesham gets hurt in the preseason. Martavis Bryant hasn't hurt knee. He's not another game. The fifth game right off the bat. Shazier gets hurt. Ben gets hurt. Beecham gets hurt. They have to start Michael Vick, and he gets hurt. Landry Jones has to quarterback the team at one point. Ladies and gentlemen, just think about what I just said for a few seconds. Landry Jones had to play quarterback for the Steelers. If you said that in the preseason even, ladies and gentlemen, if Landry Jones has to be your quarterback this year, what do you think is happening to the Steelers? Everyone that's listening to the show would say, season's over. It's in the can. We'll see you next year. Hopefully we're playing for a draft pick. This team is 10-6, and they are in the playoffs. I don't care if it's a 6 seed or a 3, they're in the postseason. This team deserves it. I don't care what anyone says. If you want to call in and complain or go on the site and complain, do it. Go for it. I don't care, but they deserve this. They deserve this postseason. When all these other teams are crying about injuries, cough, cough, Baltimore Ravens, The Steelers have had injuries. They've had people on IR, and you know what? They're in the freaking playoffs, people, and that's why Pittsburgh Steelers fans should be happy, not just because they're in the playoffs, because this team is resilient. They don't give up. They don't quit on each other. They are very much a band of brothers, and that saying gets way too it gets overused, but ultimately these guys are a very tight-knit group of teammates, and you saw it in the form of Vince Williams saying what he did about Vontaze Burfict. You saw it in the way they rallied around each other. When Roethlisberger threw the pick against Denver, the team responded. They do that, and that's what makes this team special, and that's what makes this team dangerous as well. I tell you what, it's a great day to be a Steeler fan. I can't be happier. My first season as the editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com is going to be a playoff season. I hope that the Steelers are able to string together some wins. We're going to have a lot of stuff for you on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com tonight, Sunday night. If you're listening live or if you're checking us out on podcast shortly after the game, we will have winners and losers coming up. Chris will have that to you hopefully by the top of the hour at 6 o'clock. Once the seedings are announced of when the Steelers are going to play, who they're going to play, you'll see that on the website. Already on the website, during the show, we've got Steelers Twitter reactions, D'Angelo Williams celebrating with his teammates coming off the field in a boot. A lot of good stuff for you to check out. So BehindTheSteelCurtain.com early and often throughout the week, we're going to give you the best film room analysis on their opponent, and it's going to be good stuff. So, Chris, thanks. Let me take the time to thank you for all your work you do for the site that goes unnoticed, all the gift work. I really appreciate it. Do you have anything to say before we send it off, Chris?
Just letting you know, I am working on my winners and losers article. I'm going through my winners today. I want to give the best shout-out I can to the players that do the best. I'll let you know, Antonio Brown's definitely on the list, James Harrison, Lawrence Timmons. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I don't want to put losers down because the only losers really are, you know, the New York Jets. And I have really nothing against the New York Jets. They seem like they were a tough team this year. Todd Bowles really turned them around from how bad Rex Ryan had them in the previous season. But you know what? I think the Steelers were definitely the more deserving team to be in the playoffs, like you said, deserving. And a lot of people had a problem with that. So you know what? The Jets lost the Bills the same way Steelers lost to the Ravens. And the Steelers also had to lose to the Seattle Seahawks, who were have been in the Super Bowl for the past two seasons. Those are things that don't get calculated. And yes, while the Jets did have to go up against the Patriots twice and beat them once, the Steelers had to go up against the NFC West, the Bengals twice, the Broncos, the Chiefs. Top ranked offenses, top ranked defenses, all across the board. The Steelers did it, and with their fourth-string quarterback, a third-string running back, a fourth-string kicker, your backup linebackers, your backup defensive end, you're missing your all. You never played once. The Steelers never played a full game this season with the three threats on offense that everyone was scared of, and Ben, Bell, and Brown, and the killer bees, as they called them last season, and you could also throw Martavis Bryant. But the three of them, let alone Martavis Bryant being in the mix, never played together. That doesn't even calculate Marquise Pouncey being in the mix. He never saw the field this season. Kelvin Beecham, was missing. They had to put in Charlie Villanueva. Three of the five starters on the offensive line, people, are undrafted players filling in this year. And yes, Ramon Foster is an experienced undrafted player that has developed in our system, but nevertheless, he's undrafted. He's not like a top player that we've been able to cultivate like David DeCastro or Marcus Gilbert to be offensive linemen. Because if we had three other David DeCastro or Marcus Gilbert or Marquise Pouncey on the offensive line, good Lord, I'm not sure if you could stop us from running the ball. But so many things to be happy about. You know, I'm going to have losers on there just to keep the consistency of the column. But definitely read it if you want to talk about it. And talk about it in the comments. I try to read my comment sections as much as possible. I didn't get to read your article this morning, Jeff, because I'm flying all around Pittsburgh this past 2 weeks, really. I'm driving myself crazy here. But I do try to interact with our readership as much as possible because we have a sense of community here at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. And we love to talk with our fans, even with the crazy ones, because every fan base has some crazies. But at the end of the day, we all know we have a love for our favorite team in sports, and we want to see them do well. And we love to sort of share the collective thoughts together, because there's always new perspectives that help you learn stuff. I've learned stuff from people in our community. You know, people have told me that I've helped them learn things. That's what we're about here at BTSC, learning, growing, and having a great time watching our favorite football team. So that's where I'm at, Jeff.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, we have a late caller here, I think. Let's see if we can get this gentleman on the air.
Hey.
347-406, go ahead.
Fellas, what's up? This is Bryce calling from Brooklyn.
Bryce from Brooklyn!
See, now it's Bryce. I thought you called earlier. I thought I needed a number, but I was wrong. Bryce, what's going on?
What's going on, fellas? I've never been more happy to be so wrong. I was pessimistic on the last call, and you told me to be optimistic. I didn't think the Bills would be able to get it done. But what do you know? Never count out Sexy Rexy, huh? He had those guys ready to go.
Okay.
I couldn't believe it.
Absolutely.
One of the things, you know, good win for Pittsburgh. I'm really hoping. I know we say it every week, and I know you've probably talked about it a lot. But, you know, Chris, you're a defensive guy. I still do not understand why they keep rolling Antoine Blake out there.
Yeah.
It's so much better. It's so clear that Ross Cockrell is just – he's just a better NFL corner. And, you know, when I look at this team moving forward to the playoffs, everything is going to – you know, depending on what happens with D'Angelo Williams, it's still going to be in Ben's hands, what they should have did like last year when they had injuries to the running back. Put it in Ben's hands. How far can he take us? But I think the defense, the answers are in the room, that the pass defense can be better if we blitz more and put Cockrell, Boykin, and Gay and just let them play all the snaps. I think that's the formula. I mean, we're going to go as far as they do that. If we don't do that, then we're going to be sitting at home because – teams are still going to be able to get yards and get down the field and make plays because we're not going to be able to hold off on the back end.
Go ahead, Chris. You go ahead and answer that.
All right. There's so many things that are nervous about. They made me nervous about the game. And seeing Antoine Blake out there is starting to give me high blood pressure. I'm totally with you. When I saw that, I was like, wow, that guy's tall. I don't even know who that is. You know, but maybe that's a good receiver. And then they said it was Terrell Pryor. I'm like, oh, gosh, that was the quarterback from Ohio State and the guy from Gannett. Because Terrell Pryor is a Pittsburgh kid. So, you know, I'm glad he has a job.
Right.
But Antoine Blake, oh, man, like that's just I'm writing my winners and losers right now, and he's going to be on my losers list. But it's just like, why? Why? And just – there's the why as to why he's out there. There's the why as to the why can't you just, you know, make a play right there. Just so many whys. But, you know, when he's out there, it seems like it's a liability. When we put out Cockrell and Boykin and Gay out there, you know, and then had the safeties floating around and we were bringing heat, it seemed like the defense was more together. They blew less plays. And, I mean, you saw when Blake was out there, they were targeting him. They were like, yo, for the field. They're looking at him. Austin Davis, the quarterback that's played two games this season, knows to go after Antoine Blake. And really, I mean, you know, it's just, and I've been against, and Jeff, you've been with me all season. Bryce, you've been listening all season. I have not shouted from the top of my lungs that get Blake off the field. I've said, you know, he's not playing well, you know,
right.
I think he can do something, but I have not been on the train of, you know what, let's just get rid of this guy because he's made big plays for us.
Right.
But after this week, it's like, dude, you know, I appreciate the things you have done. You know, I think they're keeping Mike Vick on the roster. They've been keeping Mike Vick on the roster despite him being hurt because they appreciate who he is, what he did for us, to, you know, in the Chargers game. And, you know, they want us to, whatever the fate of the team is, they want him to be able to share the good and the bad with the team. And I feel like they want to do the same with Blake, but it's to the point where I want to do that with Blake, but I want him to be like Michael Vick and just be on the sideline because when he's on the field, he scares the living bejesus out of me. I don't know, you know, I don't know what he's got to do if he's hurt or, but you know, I do want to see him out of there. And I do think that when that happened, I mean, they did it against the Broncos 2 weeks ago, he came out the game and they shut out a team for an entire half. So, he's made his fair share of big plays this year. He kept us in the game against the Bengals with the red zone interception on Andy Dalton. He had the pick six against the Chargers, and he's had some nice breakups here and there. But in the long game, he has had a bad 2015-2016 NFL season, and I think it's time for him to be a special teamer or a quarter a quarter defensive back for the Steelers. So that's where I'm at. Jeff, what about you?
We talked about Boykin earlier. I'm at the point now where you wonder what it's going to take for them to bench the kid. And like you said earlier, Chris, he certainly was benched, I believe, in the second half. If he played, it was sparingly to give someone a break. It doesn't get more abysmal than watching Terrell Pryor catch a pass over top of him, which equated to points at the end of the day, less than a minute. And they allowed them to go down and kick a field goal. That can't happen in the playoffs. Points are at a premium. You can't do that. So ultimately, I think that it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Although, like I said earlier, I don't expect anything to change at all. It's sad to say. I wish I could say something else, but it's just the way that it is. Bryce, what else you got for us? Anything?
Just real quick. You know, Jeff, what you just said about it is what it is, you know, at some point, you know, the buck has to stop at Butler and at Tomlin for continue to roll this guy out when we know what he is. I mean, like Chris said, it's not just this week. Look at the better teams we played against, the Bengals, the Broncos. Look what Cockrell, I mean, even, you know, early against the Ravens when he was new to the team, you see Cockrell is more of a play, is a more consistent cover guy. You know, Blake is a playmaker. He's a really good athlete, but Cockrell's got good athleticism. He'll stick his nose in. Like you said, they went deep to Pryor. Then he tried to do it again, and Cockrell's all over that guy. He tries to catch the ball. He just looks at him like, where are you going? Like, he's all over him. And I think he has shown himself, at least towards the latter half, of being the better NFL corner. If Blake is your number four guy, like you said, where he comes in spot duty, for a series, okay, you can live with that to give someone a break. That's all we should see from him, because we've seen also that Brandon Boykin is around the football. He's a playmaker. So you'd have two playmakers, Gay and Boykin, and your back end to really bolster it. I mean, it's coaching. If you're not gonna bench him, it's coaching. You're just being stubborn. And I don't understand why they would do that when they have a chance to make a run with their offense. So offensively, though, Roethlisberger throwing a lot. Too many interceptions from my take. Martavis Bryant, I don't know where he was. I think his head wasn't in the game, or maybe he was sick. But, you know, hopefully Ben can make smarter throws and just stay patient. Guys are going to be open. We got the talent to be open. Just don't force footballs when you don't have to. Even though I think Martavis ran a wrong route on the one pick, you just don't need to force footballs. Take what they give you and matriculate the ball down the field.
Absolutely, and if you look at what the teams have tried to do against Pittsburgh in the past few weeks, Baltimore did it to perfection. They're going to take two deep safeties, they're going to drop everyone back, and they're going to say, we're going to force you to take the underneath routes. Okay, then that's fine. You need Bryan on the field. You need Darius Taylor-Bay on the field to help kind of take the top off of the defense, and that's when you see what Antonio Brown did today. Antonio Brown didn't make the big catch down the field. It was all those quick slants, get it to him over the middle, him finding the soft spot in the zone coverage, and just picking people apart. That's how you have to work the game in the playoffs. It's just not going to work to be able to just sling it deep every time. Yeah, Darius Taylor-Bay beat his man. That was great. But that's not always going to happen. Mind you, again, that was a third down play, third and short, and they take another shot deep. I don't get it, but that's the way that they play. It's going to be interesting to see how they address some of these issues moving forward. Chris, what do you think?
I don't know what they're going to do. It's honestly, like I said, they have some sort of system. There could be an explanation that makes it perfectly reasonable, and they just don't want the rest of the world to know why they do it, because they don't want to let us know what their system is. You know, Bryce, if you were listening earlier to the show, I suggested maybe it's that they're trying to keep their best defensive backs fresh for the second half or for the fourth quarter or whatever. You know, and again, that's just a theory. It, you know, there's the only validity it has is just my own speculation as to watching the Steelers this season, because Antoine Blake, after being pulled time and time again in late games, he continues to come back out there in the beginning of games. And the only thing that makes me wonder is if Tomlin or Butler or Lake or whoever is saying, just go out there. If you don't mess up, we'll keep you out there. But if you mess up, we'll pull you. But we need to keep Boykin, Gay, and Cockrell pretty. We need to keep them rotating so that when it comes to late in the game, they can make the big plays to, you know, pick a ball off or knock a pass down or be ready in general to make a play to have our secondary help us out, because our secondary has torched us at the late in games in recent years. So that's my only thoughts on why it is or what it is, or if the Steelers really need to whether the Steelers really go for it. I'm kind of with Jeff. I don't think they will. I don't think they're going to adjust at all. They're going to take who they have, who they know that they got, and they're going to work with that. And I don't think it's going to be that huge of a problem, because I do think that they're going to have his rotation be as little as possible. But you got to make sure that every time he's on the field, he is guarding the least effective player that you can have a cornerback guard with the formation that you're up against and the formation that you're in. So I whatever it is with Anton Blake, I have run out of room to try and argue for the man to not be to not be as bad as everyone says he is. He's kind of you know, defeated my argument.
Yeah, I mean, your guess is that's as good as a guess as anyone, you know, why they keep rolling him out there. So, let's give some love to the rookie. I think he's a rookie. To Fitzgerald Toussaint, came in, did a couple nice things, didn't turn the football over. Struggled in the beginning on blitz pickup. I was a little nervous, but, you know, hopefully they'll have him ready, and we'll get to see what Todman does, because I think, you know, D'Angelo Williams will probably be a little up in the air here.
It's going to be interesting. There was no update after the game by Mike Tomlin in regards to the severity of the injury. He was in a boot. Some said he was walking gingerly. It's all going to probably be based on pain tolerance and his ability to be mobile. My guess is it's going to be a game time decision. I don't expect him to practice on Wednesday, Thursday, or maybe limited on Friday, and then that means it'll be a game time decision. So, it'll be interesting. I think the Steelers would be wise to go in with a game plan without him. And if you have him at your disposal, then you use him. But I think they're equipped to be able to win a game, which it looks like it could be the Cincinnati Bengals. They're equipped to win a game even on the road without him, if had need be. Will they bring in a free agent running back? I'm not sure. I believe they have someone. I think Jordan Todman is still on the team's practice squad, maybe. In which case they could promote him and release another player and would be another option for you at the running back position. I heard someone on Twitter, or I guess I read on Twitter, someone wanted Dree Archer back. It's not going to happen, folks. Don't think that's going to happen. Not going to happen.
Real quick, guys, I just wanted to say this. In terms of moving forward next week, and I'm looking like I'll probably be calling in Wednesday, we'll talk then, but to me it's just very simple with the running back situation. It's like it was last year. You pay the guy $100-something million, put it in his hands, take us there. That's why he's there. He's at the point of his career. He's got to be able to do it like a la Brady or Rodgers. I'm a big believer that Ben can do it. But they got to do it, and they can't overthink it. They can't outcoach themselves like they did last year. Just go ahead and put it in his hands and let him throw it. If it's 50 times, it's 50 times. And then you supplement that with some runs. If those guys do break some runs, then you know you can give it to them a little more. As long as they're up on pass pro, you got to throw it. Just give it to the guy and let him go. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, it's going to be – I'm actually really looking forward to seeing who they play, when they play, and what kind of offensive game plan that they have. It should be interesting. I think that right now it's just way too early to think about what the game plan is going to look like, because you don't know who the opponent is. So once the opponent comes out, it should be released. Once these 4 o'clock games are over, they'll know what the 6 seeds are. And then we'll know who the Pittsburgh Steelers play next week, when they play them, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, and that's when we really start dissecting it. But Bryce, you're right, Wednesday is the time to do it. We're going to talk a lot about that game. Thanks for the call. We're out of time, so unfortunately we got to get going. Chris, thanks for your time. Anyone else, make sure you check out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com for all your Pittsburgh Steelers needs. As always, I'm Jeff, editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. We'll see you next time, hopefully after a Pittsburgh Steelers playoff win, right here on the Steelers Final Score. We'll talk to you later. Bye.